For me, Christmas wouldn't feel like Christmas without Gone with the Wind. On a regular rollout with Sky Cinema greats for the festive season, this American Civil War epic endures as one of the most popular films of all time. Winner of 8 Oscars, it would challenge a Netflix box set for drama and suspense. Feeling longer than the Civil War itself, you've scoffed a whole tub of roses and Scarlet still hasn't uttered. After all, tomorrow is another day. Modifying Margaret Mitchell's 1,000-page masterpiece into a film to be viewed at one sitting was a formidable feat. Though Mitchell's Pulitzer-winning grand opus is without doubt an ode to the Old South, it may also be regarded as a narrative of an Irish diaspora. Scarlett's survivalist declaration that she'll never be hungry again echoes the voices of thousands of Irish arriving in America in the 19th century. Her character is based on Mitchell's maternal grandmother, the tenacious Annie Fitzgerald. Annie's father had immigrated from Tipperary at the turn of the 19th century to escape the aftermath of the 1798 rebellion. Toiling tirelessly, he built from nothing a large plantation and soon metamorphosed into a rich southern slave owner. Scarlett's father, Gerald O'Hara's character, is based on him. The novel describes Gerald having the brogue still heavy on his tongue, despite 40 years in America. Clever and ambitious, he was not schooled. The only Latin he knew, Mitchell writes, was the responses to the Mass. The only poetry, that of Moore. The only music, the Songs of Ireland. Tara is central in defining Gerald's character. It is not the graft of a yeoman, but the labour of a poor Irish bog trotter with an inbred lust for land. In the film, Gerald insists that the land is the only thing in the world worth working for, worth fighting for, worth dying for, because it's the only thing that lasts. He tells Scarlett, it will come to you, this love of the land. There's no getting away from it if you're Irish. Mitchell spent summers on the old plantation with her grandmother and the Fitzgerald aunts. They delighted in telling stories of the High Kings of Tara, of Tone and Emmet. They sang Moore's ballads and recited the poems of James Clarence Mangan. Once, when Mitchell was presented with a book of Mangan's poems, she admitted to never having read them, though she could, from memory, recite Dark Rosaline, O Hussey's Ode to the Maguire, and others. It is possible, then, that the title, Gone with the Wind, although often said to reference another poem by Ernest Dowson, may actually owe something to Mangan's poem, Solomon, where is thy throne? It is gone in the wind. Babylon, where is thy might? It is gone in the wind. Ironically, Mitchell saw nothing of the oppressed becoming the oppressor in the O'Hara story. Gone with the Wind reminds us of America's long road of racial progress. While the film deletes all the book's references to the Ku Klux Klan and the N-word, it would have us believe that slaves like Mammy and Prissy willingly accepted their inferior lot, that they were ever jolly and well-treated and diligently loyal to their benevolent owners. Big Sam leaves Tara only when instructed to do so. But in real life, many slaves abandoned their masters at the first opportunity. They fled to the north or to fight in the war. The film covertly blames their post-war plight on their emancipation. They were slaves because they couldn't function independently, it suggests. The film's premiere in Atlanta took place shortly before Christmas in 1939. President Jimmy Carter recalled it as the biggest event to happen in his lifetime. The governor proclaimed a public holiday, Confederate flags flew, and bands marched to the strains of Dixie. bracing the freezing cold, hundreds of thousands of fans, dressed in period attire, thronged the streets to welcome the Hollywood stars. In segregated Georgia, some, however, were more welcome than others. Eager cheers hailed Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh, while black cast members, including Hattie McDaniel, were glaringly absent. Hattie, whose parents were former slaves and whose father fought in the Civil War, would later win an Oscar for her portrayal of Mammy, the first for a black actor. She famously said that she would rather earn $700 a week for playing a maid than $7 for being one. Vanderbilts, Astors, Rockefellers, Morgans and governors of what used to be the Confederacy mixed with any class of white Southerner who could afford the ticket. Not black Southerners, though. They were again forced to go north, this time to view the film. You regard 1939 as a different world, removed from yours by 80 years of reformist enlightenment. The film's politics appall you, and you don't forget this even as the characters draw you in. They undertake quests, survive adversity, find and lose love, established storytelling ploys as old as Eve. You start watching, dig into the roses, and you can't stop.